Amen. Ladies, when you did this, this really is good. This reminded me of the first time I ever met Brother Burns. And this reminds me of me. And the rest of this reminds me of all of you. The circus has come to town. Amen. By the way, when I first got saved, about 42 miles from here, August 24th, 1970, I had never been inside of a church. By the way, shame on the churches. Nobody ever invited me to their church. Nobody ever invited me to ride a church bus. Nobody invited me to their Sunday school class, like Lee Robertson and Jack Hiles had. And nobody invited me to go to heaven. But I got saved over there, started going to church. They had given me a Bible. The soul winners had given me a Bible, marked it all up for me. And I'd go to church, being my, you know, I didn't know, most of you in this room already knows this. I was married, fought a war, and had kids before I ever got saved. And I would be at a preacher's tell you, you know, where to turn. And you're going to laugh at this unless you've been there. I'd have to look in where all the Genesis on page one, okay. And by the time I found where the preacher wanted me to be, he was going on to something else. So I'm going to give you a warning tonight. We're going to be in Haggai. So go, open up front of your Bible, in front of it, and start looking, all right? Amen. You can open up anywhere because it's all good, but that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in Haggai. So go ahead and find that chapter 1. And let me get you all caught up because you're going to hear room. The rumor mill is already starting, and I'm too old to give a rip. I made the announcement that on March the 1st, I would no longer be the pastor of the Open Bible Baptist Church. I turned it over to Don Jr., and I'm so proud of him. He didn't go in like a new pastor and just change everything. He just added to what we were already doing. I'll give an example. They started off April by taking the two Walmarts and some trading posts and over in Shiprock and different places. You know what I'm talking about. And they set up like six places, and they put big signs up. The teenagers walking around with the signs said, "Free Bibles. Free Bibles." They passed out 615 Bibles and over 1,000 gospel tracts and saw 21 people saved. Amen. Amen. Right? And people are constantly asking me, "How does it feel? How does retirement feel?" I have no clue. Retirement means they pay you not to show up. You know what I'm saying? That's all I know about retirement. They couldn't pay me when I was the pastor. Sure can't pay me anything when I'm not the pastor. And it's just crazy. Like, so don't ask me how retirement's going. I don't know. I'll tell you how retired I am. In the last 3 weeks, I've been in 9 different states and preached. This will be the 8th time. That's how retired I am. All right? So I don't want to hear that junk. But I thank you for everything. Brother Burns, I love you. Or I wouldn't pick on you. I know you wish I didn't love you so much. But anyway, hey, he started tonight. It tonight, preacher. I'm sorry. I know you don't believe that, but he started it. Amen. Raise your hand if you got Haggai chapter 1. Don't lie. All right. Beginning in Haggai chapter 1 in verse 1. The second year of Darius, king in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, "This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You're clothed, you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, put into a bag, holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye look for much, and lo, it come to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow up on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house. Father, show us something tonight that would help us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's an amazing story in the Bible because it is in Haggai, most of us, especially young people, are new babes in Christ, ignore it and leave it, just let it go for something else. But it's an amazing story here about God wants to have first place in our lives. Right. I'm talking about first place, not second, first. If anybody in here has ever had me sign your Bible, I always sign my name, and I put Colossians 1:18. And in that verse, it says that he is to have the preeminence, and that word preeminence means first place. First, I mean, you can't argue about it. God wants first place of the day. God wants first place of your time. And like this or not, God wants first place of your money. Amen. Yeah, babes in Christ don't understand this, and that's why they have to be in church and be taught things. Watch this carefully. The government's not supposed to take first out of your paycheck. Right. That means you're putting the government first, not God first. I'm sorry, I love you. Right. I'll be leaving early in the morning, so you get mad as you want to. The first part of the money should come out of your check or out of your pay or any other money you make, watch me carefully, should be God's part. Yeah. Right. Didn't he say you're cursed and don't even know it? You curse with a curse. They said, where? When? He said, watch this now. This is where he's going to upset some of you. He didn't say just in your tithes. He said in your tithes and offerings. And he in this story is saying, number one, I want to be first. Number two, it shows us what God thinks about the local church. It really does. There's a lot of teaching here. And we don't have time tonight because somebody's here that I love and I don't want to make them mad. Your world should not circle around you. And by the way, let me say this to you. Family Day will never replace God's Day. Amen. Should never. Family Day should never replace God's Day. End of story. But it's not, preacher, if I have time, I'm both here working on my house, and I can't make it this week, because it's going to take, maybe you cannot make it for a month. It's going to take me 4 or 5 weeks just to get this house started because I built me a house. You do understand. And you understand I can't give to that project y'all need done over there at the church because I'm putting all my money into this house. You understand what I'm saying to you, preacher? And I'm sure God understands that. He does understand, but not the way you think he does. Amen? And that's what this story is all about. So that's what he's saying here. So we need to understand a few things. They said they were all busy, finally came back, took the land, and the first thing they did, watch me now, they cut God off, they cut the local church off, and put themselves above God. And you know, listen, either God lied or he didn't. If he didn't lie, that's exactly what's going on here. They're taking care of what they want. They're taking care of what they feel that they justify by saying what I need before I care of what God wants me to do. And that's the whole gist of the story here. I don't have time to God right now. Because, and I'm sure God understands, I can't do it things over the church that needs to be done. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't run a bus route. I can't be a teacher. I can't be a tither. I can't do those things because after all, he that provideth not for his own, especially of his own household, is a denier of the faith and worse than an infidel. Listen to me carefully. Quit making excuses and using God for it. Amen. 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 Now watch this carefully. In this story, you find out he said, build the temple first. Build the church first. Now, you know, there's a lot of ways we can build a church. Showing up is one of them. Amen. Years ago, I was down in Mexico, and And you'd see, I thought I was on the reservation, to be honest with you. Floors are dirt. It's old mud houses. It looks like just a war zone. But right in the middle, they call them ranchos, when you get in the middle of what you and I would call town, with all that nastiness and war and poor people everywhere and buildings about to fall over, you'd see a beautiful church building. And it bothered me. You know, I was just young. Just a young preacher. I didn't, have it all together. I still don't. Shut up. I mean. But I said, preacher, I said, I'm confused. They're living like that. And yet there's a beautiful church building right in the middle. How did they get that? And this is what the preacher said. Listen to me now. Listen. People will give to what they really believe in. So if we're not giving, we really don't believe in what we're liars. We're really not what we say we are. Amen. Quit preaching, start meddling. I know that. And let me say this to you, and I mean this with all my heart. What they were doing and what they were building was good. Are you still with me? What they were doing, what they were building was good. And I want everybody to understand that. I'm not picking that. But it was, and by the way, what they were doing was important. But it wasn't more important than God. There's nothing you can do apart from the local church and apart from God that's worth doing if you got to put God or the church down first. Amen. By the way, let me say this. Write this down. Write this down. Because I don't come up with good things very often, but write this down. You do important things on purpose. You do important things on purpose. Amen? You're married now. Still? Oh, okay. All right. I guarantee you, because you're a big old boy, you like to eat. And you want it with a purpose. You want that food on the table. And if she loves you, she'll do it with a purpose. She'll even try to feed what you like. But some hogs eat the old thing you put ahead of them. Amen. You do what's important on purpose. They were busy people. Read that story again. They're very, very busy people. However, are you still with me? They were busy, but not busy for God. They was busy for themselves. He's supposed to be first. And I know here comes a visiting preacher in here, and now some of you folks are new people in church here, and I love you. I really do. But listen to me carefully. You know why the truth hurts? Because it's the truth. What they were doing was important. What they was doing was a good thing. They were busy, but not for God. Verse 2, he said this, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And this is what the people said. Not the preacher, not God. This is what they said. And we have learned how to use words so we don't feel so bad about being a crook. I mean, about being a lazy bum. I mean, about, never mind. This is what they were saying. This is Waterflow New Mexico language, but it's exactly what they were saying. That's a good idea, man of God. But we'll decide when the right time is. You're just a pastor. You're just a man. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Listen, if a pastor is still preaching the book, he's not just a man. He's the man of God. And we're to look at it that way. Amen. Good idea, but not yet. Good idea, man of God, but we'll decide. The man of God and the word of God showed up. Are you listening to me? Someday, one of these days, a bunch of them are sitting around like this. God showed up. The man of God showed up, and the word of God showed up. Do you realize that's why you ought to be, and you ought to make this, do this on purpose? You ought to make sure you go to a church that believes the book. I'm not believing the book. You say, but preacher, you can't build a big work. Well, if you do that, you got to make your church not look like a church. You got to have it all black everywhere. But, you know, it look like a rock and roll dancing hole. I want my church to look like a church. Amen. But the man of God, the word of God showed up. This is what they were saying. Again, Water Flow, New Mexico. Let me tell you what they're saying here. This man of God was saying this. Neglect your home, and it will become a mess. My wife knows who I'm talking about, and you probably do too, so I got to be careful how I say this. And boom, we're probably out in outer space by now. We had a woman in our church. Her husband had left her, and she had two boys. And her house was such a mess because she neglected it. And our latest came and told me, said, preacher, if you just open the door, you'll start throwing up. And I said, it can't be that bad. So I got a bunch of women. I said, we're going to show her how to clean. We went over there. Listen carefully. There was two or three dead cats, a dead rabbit. It had been there so long that it had rotted. Dirty, you could not see any part of the floor. You had to walk on dirty clothes through there. And after that woman, I said, we're going to clean this house one time. You got to learn to take care of your house. If you neglect your home, it will become a mess. Let me say this to you. If you neglect your life, it's going to turn into a mess. It'll turn into a mess. When your addictions override, let me start all over. If your addictions override your conviction, you're in trouble. And by the way, it's not just alcohol and drugs and stupid things that we get addicted to. There's people that I thought saved as I am, comes to a good church that are addicted. Because if their favorite show comes on a Wednesday night, they ain't showing up, or Thursday night, whenever you have your midweek service, they ain't showing up. And if the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing, they ain't coming back Sunday night. You know why? They're addicted. They're addicted. Amen. Some of you are addicted to your cell phone. Impossible. Impossible to go to sleep unless you end the day with your God. And when you get up in the morning, the preeminence is, I missed you for the last 20 hours. I just woke up. If your addictions overtake your convictions, you're done for. It'll turn out to be a mess. Neglect your house, it'll turn into a mess. Neglect your life, it will become a mess. Neglect your walk with God, and it will become a mess. And then I'm going to quit preaching for a minute and meddle. When you quit giving your tithes and offerings to make the cause of Christ work smoother and better and on time, you're a loser. And you're going to mess it up. Watch me now. Did God or did God not say, give, and it shall be given unto you? Good measure, shake it down, run together, shall men give unto your bosom. Watch me carefully. Either that's in the Bible or it's not. That's just as in the Bible about whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then what? God takes it further. Prove me and see if I will not open the winds of heaven. Wait a minute. So guess what? You're constantly asking God for things, and God just sits back and goes, well, you first. Give and it shall be. Give of your time and I'll give you more time. Give you tithe and offering. By the way, if you could outgive God, you'd be God. You can't outgive God. You got to get the money in. Got to get the money in. But, good idea, man of God, but not now. You understand, I'm doing a good thing. I'm taking care of my family. And by the way, praise God for people to take care of the family. I tell you how you make it easier and make it more profitable for you to take care of your family is put God first. Amen. Look at verse 8 with me. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. What's he saying? He said, listen, by the way, you know where preachers get their messages from? Off the internet. Honestly, my wife can vouch for this. We had a man come to our church one time, and we were, I don't have computers. If you told me, Brother Chitty, I'll pay all your debts off if you just turn just show me how to turn this computer on, I'd still be just as broke as I am right now. I have no clue how to even turn one on. I have a smartphone, and it's a whole lot smarter than me. I'm at least 5 to 10 times a day, I'm saying, telling my wife, come over here. Ooh, I want to throw this against the wall. Get that off of there. You say, you're against cell phones. Oh, no. I'd like to find out who won. I want to find out how much bombs we dropped today. I'm all for that, man. These intellects come up to me and they say, you were in the military. What do you think we're to do in Iran? I think we're to turn into the Iranian Sea. If you drop enough bombs, water will run in. Amen. That's enough of that foolishness. Okay. In verse 8, he was saying, build the temple of God first, and I will be pleased. Listen, anytime you put God first, he's pleased. Did you ever make an A in school? A few? Did your parents know about it? Were they proud of you?
Yes.
Did you ever make an F? Go sit down somewhere else. No. I know your answer. Don't give me that. Liar, pants on fire. But when you made a good grade, they was pleased. And it's almost like they had achieved something with you. We're teaching them character. Teach them how to become a man and study hard and do right. God said, if you'll build this and put me first, I'll be pleased. A pleased father always blesses the child. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says this, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. God is saying throughout this whole story here, put me first. Put me first. And then verse 5 and verse 7, watch carefully. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Look at verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Wow. Consider sometimes. Preacher, man, this hurts me, man. I won't be able to get my tithes and offerings this month. I just got some things I got going. I got to use it for that. God says, put me first. Consider your ways, money or God. We'll trust our through our paycheck, we'll trust our boss at work that we do God. Can God lie? 1 Titus 2:1, a God that cannot lie. And he said, give it shall be given. Prove me and see. Money or God. Popularity or God. Later instead of now. In other words, you're doing it, going to do it later instead of doing what God said. Pleasure or God. And I'm going to read you verse 6, and I'm going to ask you a question. You have sown much, and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. He clothed you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now, go ahead and make fun of this old man. I believe in that verse God is saying, you put yourself first, instead of me first, how's it going? Consider, didn't he say consider? Consider ye, how's it going for you? When you, what you want to do is what God wants you to do. How's it going for you? When you give yourself more time than you give God, how's it going for you? You know, everything that a cell phone can give you, but what if you spent that same amount of time reading your Bible and being in church serving God? Just saying. How's it going for you? Put God first. You know this verse, but I'm going to turn to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, and read it to you. Matthew chapter 6, I'll read it in John. I'm a dummy. Matthew 6. I know it's in there. There it is. Matthew chapter 6. And watch this carefully. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I still hear pages turning. It had a wonderful sound. You know what a backslider thinks? It sounds like it's like a bunch of lost. But somebody right with God goes, wow. Amen. This ain't nothing like serving God. Ain't nothing like putting God first. We need to understand that. Now watch this carefully. Matthew 6 and verse 33. You know the verse, but don't turn me off. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Watch it. Sufficient is the day of what? Evil thereof. I'm here tonight to tell you this. And by the way, there's nothing new. No preacher could sit up and preach anything new. If it's new, it ain't true. And I guarantee you, if it's true, it ain't new. But let me say this to you. You have a choice to make tonight. Just keep on loading the wagon. Forget the mule, just load the wagon. Go ahead and work. You know why people will leave a good church? Because they want to do more for God, right? You're not that foolish. They don't leave a good church to go do more for God. They leave a good church to go to do less for God. And they're not putting God first. So this is a pretty simple sermon. God first or me first? Remember that story in the Bible where God was to tell him and he said, well, let me first do this. And let me first do that. But let me do it first for me. And look what happened to those kind of people. I love you. You don't believe that, but I do. I'd like to come back next year and you come to me and say, oh, Brother Jetty, man, I started giving God first place. And you will not believe what God's done for me and my family. Oh, you won't believe what God's doing down at the church house. By the way, God is for the local church. And God's for you. But don't use the sky as some picked out verse somewhere to have it your way. This ain't Burger King. Put God first and you'll never regret it. But you have to realize this. You do important things on purpose.